word to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We just want to read a few verses from the end of this chapter. Pray God will speak to our hearts, that we will know his presence among us even as we come to his holy and precious word. Acts chapter 2, verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee. We praise thee today for the privilege of bowing in thy presence, reading thy precious and thy holy word. Lord, we've read about that church in the very early days of the New Testament work. And we thank you, Lord, we see the great joy and the great gospel activity there was among them. Oh, Lord, we pray that that will be the character and mark of our congregation. Lord, that there'll be gladness, there'll be singleness of heart. Lord, there'll be a daily adding on to this church such as should be saved. Lord, there'll be a going through with God. Oh, Lord, we pray and acknowledge that the church is made up of individuals, and Lord, therefore, individually, we need to search our hearts and see if we're right with God. Lord, we need to see if we are where God has called us to be, doing what God has called us to do, living the lives God has called us to live in the power that he has provided to do. We pray, O God, you will help us to be as godly as we possibly can. Lord, help us to be as spiritual as we possibly can. Lord, we pray that you will take away the things that are so worldly and carnal in our lives and help us to shine more for the Savior. We thank you for what you have done in our lives. And we pray, Lord, that in this church there'll be a great baptism of fire, great power, great joy, great blessing. And Lord, therefore, we leave it into thy hands. Lord, even through this word today, will you unite our hearts together. Lord, will you bring unity. Lord, will you bring the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Bring the blessing, Lord, we pray. We know it's not of man. We know it's not of man. It's of the God-man, Christ Jesus. And therefore, we say, Lord, come, visit thy church, we pray, and do a new thing, we ask. Empty me of self and sin, fill me with thy spirit. May God be glorified in the words that I speak. We ask in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. In this series on the church, the first message I preached was a promise about the church. And that was the first time the word church was mentioned in Scripture in Matthew's Gospel. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, with a starting promise like that, we have every encouragement to keep pressing on, don't we? To keep doing the work that God has called us to do. Interestingly, the second mention of the word church is the problems in the church. And last time we were here, we looked at the problems in the church. And what do you do if you have a problem with another brother or sister in Christ? And there's a biblical pattern that we must follow. And that is the way we are to conduct ourselves in order and in decency and according to the will of God. And if we do that, then we know there'll be blessing in our lives and blessing among the fellowship. So we thought of the promise about the church. That's the first mention of the word church in Scripture. We thought about the problems in the church. That's the second mention of the word church in Scripture. Now we come to the third mention of the word church in Scripture. It's found in verse number 47 of Acts 2. It says, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see, here we have this mention, and it's referring to the New Testament church. Now, this church is described in the verses that go before verse number 47. It's called the church, but the activity of the church is really described from verses 42 to 47. And there's a few things that mark this church. The first thing is this: it was a growing church. It was a growing church. Now, it had a great boost at the very beginning. There were 3,000 souls saved. Now, not all of those souls would have joined this church in Jerusalem. Many of those were in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. They had come from different parts of the known world at that time. They came as Jews, but they left as converted believers. And they were going now as Jewish Christians back to their homes, and they were taking that message that they had heard. So not all 3,000 people would have been in this church, but certainly some of that number would have made up the church there in Jerusalem. It was a growing church. How do I know? Because it says in verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We're almost scared to pray for that, aren't we? We're almost fearful to pray such a prayer, because we don't know the faith that God could do it. But if we believe and have faith, then what a wonderful thing that would be to pray. Lord, add on to this church daily such as should be saved. But you will find not only was it a growing church, the secret of their growth was it was an evangelistic church. It talks about the word daily. Daily. The work of God was going on daily. It wasn't just in the church where the minister was preaching, and that was a large part of it, as we'll see in a moment. But it was men and women, house to house. They were telling the gospel, gossiping the gospel. That was on their lips. They were sharing the experience. Others were getting saved. The work of God was going on personally among the members of the congregation. How exciting. A growing church. An evangelistic church. In reality, is there any other type of church? You can have the name, but if there's no evangelism, friend, it's not really a church. If it's not growing, then there's a major problem. We must look to the Lord for the growth, and we must do it through the work of evangelism. Who made up the church at this time? Well, verse 41 tells us, they that gladly received his word. They that gladly received his word. Now, what was the word that they received? What was it that united these people together as a church? Well, look at verse 38. Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as our Lord God shall call. And interestingly, do you realize that you are included in verse number 39? And to all that are afar off, even those who haven't been born yet. The promises of God were for us. Even 2,000 years before our existence in this world, there was a promise for us. God had prepared a promise, a gospel promise that would save us. And then verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourselves through repentance and faith. Know that you're saved. So it was made up of saved believers, saved by faith and saved by repentance. You'll notice that certain things mark this body of believers. They were from many different backgrounds, but their similar interests and activities are detailed here from verse 42 to 47, what they were all doing. Now, you'll notice that the first thing they were doing, and I think this is very challenging, at verse number 42, they continued steadfastly. We don't need to go any further. They continued steadfastly. Now, the words continued steadfastly are one word in the Greek. It's made up of two different thoughts. One thought is to be strong, and the other thought is to go forward. And therefore, they went forward with strength. They continued steadfastly. In other words, it means to persevere and to be earnest towards. It's the same word, actually, that's used in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. It says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. With one accord in prayer and supplication. So it's the same word that's used there as they continued. It's this same thought. They went forward in a strong way. They were earnest. They persevered. Now, who were these people in Acts chapter 1? They were the people that the Lord had said to them, go and tarry in Jerusalem and wait until the promise Holy Ghost comes. And they went back to the upper room, and there they were praying. We know their disciples were there. We know that the mother of Christ was there, and other ladies were there, and they all were participating in prayer. And they prayed earnestly, and they prayed strongly, and they prayed believing, because the Lord had told them to pray. And they knew they were praying specifically for an outpouring of the Spirit, and that a great work was going to be done. So here they were in the prayer meeting, praying earnestly. And what happened? God answered their prayers. And now, not only were the people in that prayer meeting earnest, but there were many precious souls who had been saved. And the earnestness that they had at that prayer meeting was now seen in the lives of the new converts. They were earnest. There was evidence of their salvation. There was effort made in prayer. And praise God, there was effort made in living for Christ. They continued steadfastly. And I want to ask you a question. Is that your testimony? This past week, can you say, I've continued steadfastly. Now, of course, we're not saying, I've done it myself because I had the power to do it and I had the resolution to do it. You're saying, I've done it through Christ. And through Christ, I've persevered. And through Christ, I've gone forward. And through Christ, I have taken ground. That doesn't mean you've been perfect. Doesn't mean you haven't failed this week. But it means overall and ultimately, you have gone through with the Lord. You've persevered in the things of God. You know, it's very easy to get excited about something and then to lose that excitement. It's very easy to be into something fully and then drift away. The mark of the church is that they continue steadfastly. And if there's something I would ask you to pray for me and for this congregation, is that we will continue steadfastly. That it'll not be sometimes excited, sometimes down, sometimes going forward, sometimes just not that bothered, but will continue steadfastly. That's what I pray for you. That's what I pray for the members of this congregation, that you will continue, you'll persevere, you'll be earnest toward the things of God. Why? Well, that the Lord would be glorified. That your life would be used by the Lord. That you would know the blessings of going through with God. But I want to show you the thing that they continued steadfastly in. And you'll notice there, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And that's as far as we're going this week. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, sometimes people hear the word doctrine and they panic. Oh, I wouldn't do doctrine. I don't go into doctrine. Now, the word doctrine, it just means instruction or what is taught. So, friend, what you read in the Word of God is doctrine. And what you learn from the Word of God is doctrine. And what you believe is doctrine. Now, there can be false doctrine or there can be true doctrine. Anything you get from the Word of God is true doctrine. It is profitable for you. And it says here, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, it's called the apostles' doctrine because they were the ones who were sharing it and they were the ones who were teaching it. They were not the ones who made it up. We know that in 2 Peter 1:21, it says, holy men of God spake as they were moved of God. That's how we got the word of God. The Lord is the source and the author of Scripture. But they were the ones who shared it, the apostles' doctrine. We can even say we follow the church's doctrine in the way that what the church teaches we follow. But what the church teaches is the word of God. So when we come back to it, it is the doctrine of the word of God. You see, the apostles shared what the Lord gave to them. Do you remember whenever the apostle Paul spoke about the communion, he said, that which I have received of the Lord, I say unto you. He is giving them what the Lord had given to him. And that's why it's called the apostles' doctrine. But ultimately it is the word of God or the scriptures. So we could say here, they continued steadfastly in the word of God. They continued steadfastly in the Bible. They continued steadfastly in the scriptures. And therefore, we've thought about the problems or the promise about the church. I will build my church. We've thought about the problems in the church. And then today we're going to think about the preaching in the church. Because this is so important, the preaching or the Word of God in the church. And I want to leave with you some ways that the Word of God is important in the Church of Jesus Christ and for the members of the Church of Jesus Christ. The first reason is this. There is the importance of the Word in salvation. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, we hear a very, very familiar passage of Scripture, Romans 10, verse number 17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And therefore, there's the importance of the word in salvation. One of the Puritans, Jonathan Edwards, wrote these words in November 1715. 53. So this is 265 years ago. No other word was ever used as a means of bringing men to know the true God but the Scriptures. Where the Scriptures have come, there has been light. All the rest of the world has remained in darkness. No book reaches the heart of man so much. No word awakens the conscience. No word is so powerful to change the heart. Wicked men would not write the word. Good men could not write it. It is God's word. That was written 265 years ago this month, and we say amen to every word because the word of God hasn't changed. And there's no other book, and there's no other way that the heart of man will be enlightened, awakened, or changed than through the preaching of the word of God. Now, you can get people to reform a lifestyle and come into some type of religious experience, but friend, that is not salvation, because the word of God tells me faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Salvation is based on the truths of God's word. We were doing a Bible class this morning about general revelation. Through nature, God has declared that he exists, but it's through special revelation, through his word, that we know there's a Savior and there's a way to be right with God through our Savior. There is no way for man to get right with God other than through the word of God. John's Gospel 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God specially blesses the preaching and the publication of his word. And whenever someone reads the word, whether it's in the book or maybe in a gospel tract, maybe in a poster, and when someone hears the word of God, should it be a full sermon or should it be just one sentence? I tell you, it makes a difference. God's word is enough to lead man to salvation. And God uses his word. Therefore, there's a great need for the lost to hear the gospel. We need to pray for victory in the preaching and the proclamation of God's word. Do you realize whenever a minister stands in the pulpit and he preaches the word of God, the devil's up and about like a roaring lion? He's trying to take the seat away. He's trying to distract you. He's trying to irritate you with something. So your mind will be taken off the truth of God's word. Why? Because you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. We need to pray that the Lord will protect our minds and our hearts as we come into God's house and give us help to hear the word of God. But we also need to pray that the lost will hear the word of God. And not only pray, but go and bring them in. Like we are coming to an evening service tonight. The gospel will be preached simply and faithfully. Will you bring someone in to hear a word that will change your heart? The importance of the word in salvation. Then secondly, we come to Proverbs chapter 6. And not only do we need the word, its importance and its essential in salvation, but we turn to Proverbs chapter 6 and we find then the importance of the word in guidance. And we come to Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 20. Proverbs 6 and 20. My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually about thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And here we have now the importance of God's word in guidance. And when someone's saved, then this book will guide them every step of life's journey. Now look at the description it gives here. It says, when thou goest, there, verse number 22. When thou goest, that means to walk. So when you're walking through life, what does it say it will do? It will, or it shall, lead thee. The word lead, it means to govern or to guide. It needs to govern or to guide. It'll govern your thoughts. It'll guide you in the way in which you ought to go. Sometimes we don't know what type of decision to make. Sometimes we don't know the right choice to make, but the word of God and its principles will govern and guide us. And that's why it's good to systematically read through the word of God so that as you are making choices in daily life, there's some word there that will lead you and guide you. Not only does the word of God say it will lead us, but it says also it will keep us. And that word, it means to guard us, to protect us. And it also is the thought of making you take heed to yourself. So as the word of God is in your heart and in your mind, it'll guard you, it'll protect you, but it'll also cause you to think about yourself. How am I living in relation to the word of God? And then there's something else here. It says it will talk with you. And the word talk, it means to ponder or to converse or to commune or to meditate. And as you come to the word of God, this word will speak to you. Now, who is speaking? It's the Lord, because he speaks through his word and he speaks through his truth. Do you realize that as you come into the presence of God personally and read this word, God is speaking to you? We need to read it carefully. We need to read it with that spirit of meditation. What is God saying? Now, there are parts of God's word as you read through it, and you'll maybe read through a chapter and you'll think, well, I don't really understand that. Or I don't get what that's saying to me. But here is the truth, that as you read God's word, it does cleanse the heart, it cleanses the mind, and it is profitable. And you might not understand every single thing that happens within the passage, or you might not understand every name or everything that's taking place, but it's always beneficial for your heart. It's always a blessing. And therefore, there is the general guidance of God's word, in which he tells all people to do these things, to pray, to read, to live lives of godliness, to love one another. But then there is the specific guidance of God's word. And for example, in my life, Matthew chapter 9, verses 37, 38, the fields are white on the harvest. The laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That's the verses the Lord called me into college through. And then into this congregation through. And I was so encouraged last Saturday evening, whenever that was, the verses that were preached. That was just, to me, a confirmation of the Lord's call in my life to be here. And I was so thankful. I was overwhelmed that evening because I just felt that was a message from my heart. That was a specific leading and assurance of the Lord. And how wonderful it is when you know, based on the word of God, that you're where you ought to be and you're doing what you ought to do and making the decisions that you ought to make. Friend, read the word of God. Obey its general guidance and then look for its specific guidance, and the Lord will lead you. And then turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And these are familiar words even at a time of dedication of a child. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says here in verse number 6, Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." So the importance of the word in salvation, the importance of the word in guidance. But here's the importance of the word in every moment of the day. Every moment of the day, the word is applicable. Look what it says. "Thou shalt talk of them," verse 7, "when thou sittest in thine house." That speaks to me of my home life. And the word of God is applicable for my home life. For example, it says in the Psalms, "I will set no evil thing or wicked thing before mine eye." What a wonderful word to implement in your home life. Using your television, using your computer, the things that you watch, the things that you read. Friend, this book is full of guidance that will help us in our home life. The role of the husband and the wife, the role of the children, how we conduct ourselves aright in our home. And therefore, God's word is applicable for your home life. And then it says also there, "when thou walkest by the way." Now to me, that's when you're not in your home. So therefore, you're either at your work or you're at recreation or your labor. And God's word is applicable there. How to be a good steward of your time. How to be a good employee. How to be a good employer. How to be faithful in the workplace. How to be faithful among your friends. How to be faithful among those that you labor with. "When thou walkest by the way." God's word is applicable for that. And then it says, "when thou liest down." And that speaks to me of the times of our rest. And you know, there are times whenever we're weary and we need to lie down. Obviously, we do take the time every evening to spend time lying in sleep. But there's times even whenever we take that time out. We even maybe go on holiday or we go on vacation and we take time away from the regular thing. It's just to chill out and it's to have rest. God's word is still applicable then. God's word is still important then. And then when thou risest up, and that would speak to me of the morning time, the start of the day. God's word's applicable for the start of the day. It's good to have the word of God and to have some thought of scripture in your mind as you go out to face the day. Therefore, the importance of God's word in every moment of the day. And then turn to Psalm number 78. And in Psalm 78, verses 4 to 8, and it says, "And we will not hide them from their children." Psalm 78, verse 4, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he shall establish a testimony in Jacob and appoint a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and forget not the works of God, but keep his commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And here we have, fourthly, the importance of the word in every generation and to all ages. You see, here we find that the message is for all. You see, it's speaking here about adults who already know the word of God. So they know the word of God and they are to share it with the children. Look at verse 4. It says, "We will not hide them from their children." And therefore, it's not just for grown-ups. It's not just for adults. Friend, preaching and God's word and prayer and the activities of the church are not just for grown-ups. They're for teenagers. They're for those who have a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. And we ought to encourage spirituality in our children and the teenagers who are saved. And we certainly ought to encourage them, and if they desire to be in God's house, bring them to God's house. The desire to be in the place of prayer. Bring them to prayer. What a wonderful way for children, teenagers, young people to grow up hearing older people pray. Having the experience of it. It's good to do that. And it's the Lord's desire and purpose that we teach the young of our generation. Look, it says in verse 5, "He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children." It's a responsibility of every saved parent to make the word of God known to your child. It's a responsibility of every church to reach out to their children in their community and make the word of God known. God's word is to be known among the generations. Why? Well, verse 6, that the generation to come might know them. And then end that verse, "who should arise and declare them to their children, that they will grow up in a godly manner and reach the next generation." This is the plan of God, having come to a knowledge of the truth, obviously. And then verse 7 says about the salvation of children and the fruit in their lives. It says that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Sometimes we don't expect much of children. But here's what the Lord says, that they might set their hope in God. Boys and girls, in this meeting this morning, you can set your hope in God. You can be saved this morning. You might only be a young child, you might only be at primary school, you might be at high school, but you know what? You can trust the Lord to save you this morning. You can ask the Lord into your heart. You can leave this meeting as a Christian, and you can live for God. You can be a part of the work of God. Adults, you can trust Christ this morning. You can leave knowing Christ as your Savior. And look at verse number 8. "They might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their hearts aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." And I know in this area, and it's the norm over Northern Ireland at this time, there was a generation of parents who did not go to church, but they sent their children to Sunday school. And that generation have now grown up and they don't even send their children to Sunday school. And there's a generation, let's be honest, that does not know God. There's a generation that does not mind what goes into their children's hearts through ear, through eye, what they see and what they hear. Don't matter how immoral it is. Doesn't matter how wicked it is. Doesn't matter how damaging it is to their heart and to their mind. Doesn't matter. Those parents do not mind what goes into their children's hearts and minds. And there's a generation that does not know God. They're stubborn and they're rebellious. But here's the wonderful mercy of God. God can save the children. While the parents might refuse to come, God can save the children. A friend, we need to pray for the children, because if that was the first step, that parents didn't go to church but did send their children to Sunday school, and today's generation is the parents don't really send their children to Sunday school unless there's some church connection, what's the next generation going to be? Might be that they don't even tolerate the preaching of God's word. They don't even accept or tolerate the evangelization of children. And they set themselves against it. We need the Lord to step in and save a generation. But praise God, he can do it when we share with them the word of God. Why do we go in the summer around the villages in this community? Why do we teach God's word in halls and school assemblies? No, it's that children might know the word of God. Why do the children's workers come on Wednesday night? Why do the Sunday school teachers come? Why do the tots people come? It's that the children might know the word of God. Then we also have two final thoughts, and we have thought about the importance of the word of God in salvation. We've thought about the importance of the word in guidance. We've thought about the importance of the word in every moment of the day. We thought about the importance of the word to each generation. But going back now to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42, Acts 2 and 42, it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And here we have the importance of the word in church order. The importance of the word in church order. Now, both the shorter and the larger catechism contain this question. What do the scriptures principally teach? And the answer is, the scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. And that's the duty of man in society, but it's also the duty of man in the church. And here we find that God's word was taught in this church, it was applied in this church, it was obeyed in this church, and what was the result? There was blessing and order in the church. And it's often the case when there is not blessing in a church and when there's disorder in a church, it's because some or many are not obedient to the word of God. The scripture is our only authority in teaching and preaching. I cannot stand in this pulpit and say, you should not do this or you should do this unless it's in the word of God. I can't teach you about the Lord unless it's revealed here. I can't teach you about the sinfulness of man unless it's revealed here. I can't say to you what will happen in eternity unless it's revealed here. But when it is revealed here, I can say it with all the authority of heaven. And the teaching and preaching of God's word, what did it lead to? Look at this verse. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. I want you to get this. True biblical fellowship is based upon the word of God. It's not based upon activities. It's not based upon social gatherings. Although there are activities in the church, there are social gatherings at times within our congregation. We thank God for those. But true fellowship, the enjoyment of sharing the worship of God with one another, is based upon the word of God. They had the same faith, they had the same beliefs, they were being taught the same truth, and because of that, there was fellowship. What else was there? Breaking of bread. And that was the communion service. Now, after this service this morning, we're staying to meet around the Lord's table for communion. Who can stay with us? Those who are saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those who are walking with the Lord in a manner that pleases him. You can stay, and you can be part of this. And this is something that was a mark of the early church. Child of God, if you're saved, it's your duty to be at this table. Not so we can tick you off on some list. No, no, no. The Lord said, this do in remembrance of me, because the Lord knows that we need periodically this time to especially come and to especially look at the work of Christ upon the cross of Calvary, because it's needful for our souls. And therefore, you ought to be there. And I encourage you on the second Sunday of every month in the morning to make that effort to know that you're going to be staying a little bit longer to meet with God's people. Those who are seeing brothers and sisters in Christ around the table of the Lord. The scriptures must be our sole rule of faith and practice. And if they are, the church will be blessed. If the church moves away from the book, then there's going to be chaos. If another gospel is preached, there'll be chaos. There'll be confusion. There'll be disorder it will not bring glory to the Lord. And then the final thought is this. We thought about the importance of the word in salvation and guidance in every moment of the day to each and every generation in all ages in church order. And finally, the importance of the word in an ungodly world. The importance of the word in an ungodly world. These believers were engaged in spiritual things in an unclean world. This was a wicked world they were living in, as it is today. God's word instructed them not only how to behave in the church, but how to conduct themselves in the world. And these were not believers who just went, as it were, to church on Sunday and did the church thing on a Sunday, and the rest of the week their lives were completely separated from that. Christ was the center of their lives. He was their reason for living. He was their reason for going out, and even in their work, they were going to glorify him. They were going to glorify the Lord. And here's the question, how can I live in a godly manner that glorifies God when this world is so wicked? Turn with me to John chapter 17, and with this we're closed. How can I live in a godly manner that glorifies God when this world is so wicked? How can I do that? Well, look at John chapter 17, verse 14. This is a high priestly prayer of Christ. He's praying for his people. Verse number 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So here's the first thing. We are not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. That word keep means to guard. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And whenever the devil comes to you and says, it's too difficult, just go with the flow, just fit in, just do the normal thing, just do whatever you want to do, here's what we remember. Number one, the Savior is praying for you. The Lord's praying for you that you would live in a manner that pleases him. He doesn't want you to live in a worldly manner, but in a godly manner. Secondly, that we are sanctified through the word. Look what it says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. The word sanctify here, it means to make holy. Here's what the Lord is praying for you today. Father, make my children holy as they read the word of God. And ultimately, that's what happens when a Christian is a regular reader of the word of God. There's holiness in his or her life. Christ is seen. Decisions are made that bring glory to God. And then the third thing is this, the Lord will keep us from evil. And this is one of the means that the Lord does keep us from evil. It is the word of God. And as we read the word, he will keep us from the evil. That doesn't mean we'll not be exposed to things. But through the word of God, we'll have knowledge what is right and wrong. There'll be power in our walk to say no, because we know that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And therefore, remember, Christ is praying for you. We're made holy through the word, and the Lord will keep us from evil. He will protect us through the word from evil. In other words, if you go out and live a life this week where the word of God is central and where you're reading the word, you will grow in holiness. And you will have a greater victory saying no to sin than if you go out this week without the word of God. You will not grow in holiness, and you will fall continually in sin that you could have conquered had you been someone who was walking with the word of God. And therefore, there's great importance. And the devil's going to say everything to you, it's too hard, you're too busy. Everything will be brought up to you. Friend, get the word of God into your heart and into your mind. Get under the sound of the word of God. Maybe sometime, instead of listening to music, get a few sermons downloaded, listen to them. Maybe get the scriptures read so even as you're driving along in the car, you can hear it being recited. Whatever it is, get to the word of God. It's so important. It's the first thing that's mentioned here that was the first feature of the church of Jesus Christ. They continued steadfastly in the word. And that's the first thing we must preach to you. And it's the essential and central part of every worship service, the word of God. Let's pray and unite our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the precious word of God. Oh Lord, how important it is. There's not one here in this meeting, but they have to say, it's important that I read the word. Oh Lord, other things will come. Other things may try and take its place. There's no substitute, Lord. There's no shortcut. We must open the book and let thee speak to us. I pray, Lord, you'll give us a hunger and a longing for the Word of God. Maybe some dear believer hasn't read the book in some days or weeks, maybe months, on their own. Lord, even this day, give them a desire to open the Word of God, to read that book and see what thou would say to them. Lord, help us in this church to be faithful to it. Help us not to add on to it or take away from it, but simply proclaim what thou dost reveal. Bless us as we meet around the table of the Lord for communion. May God be glorified in what we say and do. We ask these things reverently and yet believing. In Jesus' name, amen.